God is holy, and you cannot talk to him. They were afraid to talk to him lest they die. It was something about the voice of God that made them tremble. And they said, look, we just let you talk to God. Amen. You talk to us. That lets us know God is so holy and we are sinful. And so with God, we move from the boundaries. So there are boundaries. But God had to get a building so that they would have the opportunity to worship him, to approach him. And so what happens is God moves forward. And notice in chapter 25, as you go forward, chapter 25, you begin to find out that God said, if you got chapter 25, say amen. And we see that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they do what? Bring me an offering of every man that is giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod which went over the priest's head and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Thou need to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. God gave him the instructions for the material that needed to be obtained in order for them to be able to worship him. But notice all that rich material there. All of this stuff was out there in the desert. All this was out there in the desert. Bring me all these onyx stones and all that. And when you study that tabernacle, it cost a conservative, as I said earlier, over $5 million. These folk had that, and they got it from the Egyptians. And now God is saying, in order to approach me, you got to have a building to approach me. A tabernacle is what the Bible says. And that tabernacle will be where I will come and dwell with you. Notice in verse 22. And the first piece of furniture that he brings up is the ark. And that ark is made out of acacia wood. And it has gold. It's only gold on the inside and gold on the outside. But it's got two cherubims stretched out toward the center of it. Two angels stretching, and the top of that was the mercy seat. God says, I'm not going to talk to you no longer from the top of Mount Sinai. Now I'm going to move on down. I'm going to move in with you. I'm going to move on down on your level to the tabernacle, and you all going to build me a tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, it's going to have all of the children Israelites going to have their tents around the tabernacle in the middle. And you go through the screen door, and as you go through, you first thing you run into is you run into this brazen altar. That is where the sacrifices are to be killed, because in order to approach God, there's got to be somebody to die. Blood has got to be shed if you are going to go in the presence of God. Animals have to die. Goats, bring bullocks, bring doves, bring pigeons, bring whatever you can. You can, but somebody's got to die if you are going to move. If you want me to be among you, there's got to be some bloodshed, because I'm holy and you're not holy. And in order to come into my presence, somebody has innocent has got to die, and this blood had to be shed. The necks of the pigeons had to be wrung. The offerer would bring his bullock, he'd bring his heifer, he'd bring his cow, he'd bring his goat, and he would put his hand on the head of that animal, and then he would kill his own animal's throat. He would cut the throat, and the priest would drain the blood out of the meat, and the priest knew how to drain it, and they get the blood in a basin, and they take that blood and pour it on the mercy seat so that God would they would be able to approach God, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The fact that Jesus died for our sin is opportune for us to understand. These animals spoke of a time when God would come and send his lamb to die on the cross for our sin. That became the brazen altar. Jesus stretched out his hands and he died, and blood and water came out of his side, representing the cleansing of humanity, and he died up there for our sins. Somebody died. The animals died. And they would have to take that animal and basically put it on the altar and take the blood, and they would go from the campsite on the outside to the courtyard, which is where the brazen altar was, and then they would go into the tabernacle proper, which is made up of the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. The Holy Place first, you would go through there. There are incense candles. There's a table of showbread. There's a golden menorah that they had on the left side, and there are fine twined linen covering the inside of that tabernacle, because it is a model of heaven. You ever wondered what heaven would be like? The tabernacle is a model of heaven. And these little linen that they brought out, as we saw, had little cherubims all over it, because in heaven there are angels everywhere. And inside the tabernacle, once you came in, it was blue, and you could see the angels, and you could see the candlestick, and you could see the table of showbread, and you would see the altar of incense that was made of beaten wood, and that incense represented the prayer that we sent up to God. But then there was a big, thick curtain about 18 inches behind that altar of incense, and that curtain, behind that curtain, rested this little box, the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody mad at me for taking so long? The little box. And that's where the forgiveness of sin would come from, on the mercy seat. Does anybody here need any mercy? Have you ever did something you had no business doing, and you really don't need justice? Because you're wrong. You were wrong. You were guilty. You don't need justice. Anybody here need any mercy? Y'all don't come. You see, when you come to church, you ought to come knowing how much praise you, oh God. I think it wouldn't be so hard for us to praise him if we recognize we really don't have the right to be in here. We are unworthy to sing one song. Deacon Paul is trying to find folk to work for the Lord. They ought to be trying to find us to try to work for the Lord. We shouldn't be hunting you. We got this thing backwards. You get to work for the Lord. What a privilege to sing for the Lord. What a privilege to go to church and sit in his presence and listen to people praise him. Oh, what a blessing it is. What a privilege it is. We go to concerts and people go to places where there are these worldly superstars, and they have to pay money to get a front row seat, and we'll go to church and sit back as far as we can. But if Eminem was in town, if Lil Bow Wow was in town, if Mike Jones was in town, people on the front row, I got to get there so I can get a good seat. I'm going to pay hundreds of dollars. And every Sunday you get the opportunity to come to the Lord's house, and you don't want to praise. We have to beg you to praise, pay you for a praise. We have to tell you and beg you and pour you to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You won't even work for him, sing for him, don't even want to give to him. But yet you about front row seat for a sinner. With our stuck up selves, we ought to raise our hands and say, if we ever break out in praise, if we ever get a holy dance, if we ever get a hallelujah,
this will turn this thing around. We got too much. We too blessed. We ought to be happy to praise him. We ought to have to watch you because you're trying to sing so much for the Lord. We ought to have to slow you. We shouldn't have to beg. The only thing I can think of is that we really don't understand what really the blessings we really have. We sitting here ignorant. That's why maybe the Lord led me in this Bible study. You need to see how this thing works. You didn't bring no cow in here. You didn't bring no heifer. You didn't bring no goat. You didn't bring no ram. You ain't got to kill nobody. You ain't got to get no blood to the priest. You ain't got to. You get to just stroll on in. Walk all over the place, not realizing that the truth of the matter is, this cost, we are sinners. And he says, when I see the blood, that's when I'm really going to listen. You can't come into God. You see, we play in church, aren't we? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You really would be. A whole lot of folk think God is here just to serve them. They forgetting about you owe God. God don't owe you nothing. You ought to be fighting for positions in your church. Oh, Lord have mercy. I think I need to just skip over this other part. But you see, the power came down, Deacon Mac. That's what happened. The power came down. And the Bible tells us that in Exodus chapter 40, you see, that's where the power is in the Word. In Exodus chapter 40, what we find out is in verse number 33, the Bible says at the end of verse 33, the last book of the book of Exodus, and Moses finished the work. Amen. Moses didn't finish it by himself, but he was the one responsible for getting it done. Moses finished, all finished it. Moses finished the work. Verse 34, and what happened? Ready, read. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord. Read verse 35. The glory of the Lord. See what I'm saying? He said, you built me a building. You did it, and the order was right. All things must be done decent in order. Moses did it according to the way that I told him to do it. And you did what Moses told you to do. And the order was right. And Moses, I instructed Moses to have you bring me animals. You did that. There was obedience. And now there's going to be occupancy. You had order. You put everything in order. You got the wood. You got the animals. You got the system. You got the candlesticks. You made all of that, and I gave you the men to make it. And now you obeyed me, and you brought your animal, and they cut the throat of the animal. They got the blood. And I even gave you certain moral laws to live by. I gave you dietary laws to live by, so you'll be healthy out there in the desert. No. None of these diseases, Exodus 15:26, were going to come upon you. I got you eating the right diet. And now the food that you're eating is working to your benefit. You're obeying me. There's obedience, and now there's going to be occupancy. God says, I will come down now and occupy your place. Because ain't nothing like a dead church. Ain't nothing like a place where God isn't. I didn't come to see you. I came to hear a word from the Lord. I didn't come to sing for you. I came to praise. I came to praise. Where the glory of the Lord came down. And the children of Israel were the only people who were blessed with the presence of God. They were blessed with the... Nobody else had the presence of God. You ever heard the song, Blessed Assurance Jesus? Oh, what a... Amen, amen. We got a foretaste a minute ago when the Spirit of the Lord came upon us. And there was a foretaste of the presence and the power of God. And that Holy Spirit now, you need to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't need a tabernacle. We don't need a candle. We don't need no brazen altar. We don't need no laver. We don't need no table of showbread. We don't need no golden menorah candlestick. We don't need no altar of incense. We don't even need no mercy seat. That curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, Jesus, when he died, it was ripped from top to bottom 18 inches. It was ripped, according to Josephus, a first century non-Christian Jewish historian, apart. And now Jesus said, you know what? The curtain is open. Just come on in. That's what has happened, ladies and gentlemen. God tore the curtain and said, come on in. Come on in. Now, through Jesus, we don't even need the priest can take his... He's out of a job now. He don't have a job. He done lost his job. Ain't nothing for the priest to do. You were good at but you lost your job, and the tabernacle don't need to exist, and we don't need no mercy seat. We don't need no candles. We don't need nothing. Jesus done shut it down. Thank you, Sister Smith. Amen. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we really understand what happened, and we play church every Sunday. This thing is real. I meant that. The Spirit meant that. God gives you what you need, and he blesses you as you continue to do his work, but the glory of the Lord comes down. And the thing about it is, I shouldn't have to tell you to do anything. The Holy Spirit can tell you himself. Because, see, the Holy Spirit now lives in us. Now, you want to know where the temple is? Tell your neighbor you're looking at it. Amen. You're looking at it. You're looking at it. That's what I'm saying. You don't believe me. Let me give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians. Now, if you look. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Notice in 1 Corinthians, we're going to find the temple. Let's see if we can find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians, you got it? Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Read verse 16. If you got it, ready, read. No, okay, hold it, start over. 16, you got to say amen? Read. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Tell your neighbor, if you want to see the temple, you're looking at him. You're looking at it. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19, he said, know ye not that your body, now, if in case you don't understand what he's talking about, your body
Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. God owns you. Because verse 20, read verse 20. For ye are... See, the Holy Spirit comes in, and don't nobody have to tell you nothing. You ought to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told you. Now, the Holy Spirit ought to be convicting you of things you're doing wrong. The church don't have to tell you. You know you told a lie. You know you ain't got no business gossiping. You know you ain't got no business doing that. You know you ain't got no business drinking that. I don't have to tell you. The 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, and chapter 6. Let us read that verse if you got it. Say amen. Ready, read. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Amen. I'm going to dwell in them. I'm going to walk in them. I shall be their God. They shall be my people. And when I come to this verse this morning that I'm talking before I let you go, what I find out basically is that God is telling us that he wants, he says in our primary text of chapter 29, verse 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. Another translation says, the New Living says, I will live among them. But then we find out another translation I read, and I was shocked because I got the sermon subject before I found this verse. And when I found this verse, it said, I will move in and live with the Israelites. He has to move. He wants to move in. He wants to move into children, women, men, it doesn't matter, all races. God wants to move in.
Find favor in your sight, Lord, please.
Favor, favor.
Hear my heart cry. I'm desperately waiting.
I want it.
To be where you across the heart distance.
Hallelujah.
I'll travel near.